Hi, I'm Jim Bakiai. Podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Well, the world is spinning like a top, as if it wasn't enough consternation about the pandemic. The unfortunate death of George Floyd and that hideous and disgusting video of the police officer with his knee on him ultimately caused his death was enough to shake up anybody, and myself included. I'd like to sort of, for the record, make it clear that I am white, I am part of the privileged class, and there is no way that I could possibly understand how you feel and what you have gone through. But I am empathetic to what is going on and empathetic to the need for proper justice and for real change. Earlier this week, a friend of mine who I've been working with on him getting a new job, we were talking about everything that was going on, and he's of Indian descent, and he had taken me through some experiences that had occurred for him. One after 9/11, where while working in New York City, he went into a bar and somebody mistook him for someone being from the Middle East, told him they wouldn't serve him. And then when he corrected them to say he's from India, they said, well, we don't care. We don't want to serve you anyways. And then he told me of some experiences of being pulled over late at night while he's driving his daughter around who can't sleep. As a child in Connecticut, I don't know why, because I've heard those stories a million times and I've seen those stories and I've believed every single one of them that anybody has ever talked about, because there are far too many of them to not be true. But for some reason, this one struck home because it was the first time I'd heard it from somebody that I knew extremely well. And I had a profound sickness in my belly. And I wondered how long I had sort of avoided the subject, or as unintentional racial bias I had myself had in my life. And given what I was watching, it was time to do something about it. It's time to speak out about it, time to talk about it. And so that's what I've decided to do today. I am mindful of not trying to sound gratuitous. And I'm also mindful of the fact that I may make mistakes in what I say, but I am genuine in my desire to talk about this. As we see all of these people respond, and as President Obama said, you know, every turn in the history of America, whether it's fighting off the British, whether it's emancipation, whether it's women's right to vote, whether it's Martin Luther King or this period of time or the 60s anti-war demonstrations, every single one of those was fought by demonstrating. And I'm not really paying much attention to that small segment of people that are looters, because the fact of the matter is there is a part of the population that regardless of the event takes as an opportunity for looting. Whether it's a blackout, whether it's the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series, whether it's the Boston Red Sox losing the World Series, whether it's Katrina, whether it's whatever it is, fires, there are parts of the population that see those crises as opportunities to take advantage of the situation. So let's just push those all aside and not confuse the issue. But one of the things that I worry about is you now have this momentum, and it's been hard fought. I think one of the expressions is keep your foot on the gas. And how do we keep our foot on the gas? These situations, like, there's nothing new here. There's nothing that people haven't seen before. There's nothing that people don't know. And so I sort of ask myself the question, so why don't things change? What prohibits the change? Well, is it the people in politics? Is it the people running corporations? Is it like, exactly where is the stumbling block? Because any normal human being would look at the statistics, look at the repetitiveness of all of this stuff, and say it is blatantly obvious that racial bias exists. I mean, you can't be an educated individual not to realize that. Economic bias exists. So if everybody understands it and everybody knows it, then why isn't it changing? Where are the people that are supposed to be leading the change? Where are the politicians? Where are they right now? The only person spewing venom and, you know, sort of distractions is Donald Trump. But where are all the people in Congress? Where are all the people in the Senate? We should be taking these demonstrations to the political arenas, to the people that make the laws, to the people who are majority self-serving in those things. When Donald Trump says things like, you know, I've done more for the Black community than any other president, I feel like saying to him, it's not about you. It's about them. It's not what you've done for them. It's their ability to do for themselves, their ability to have better education, their ability to have equal pay, their ability to have equal access to jobs. It's not about you, Donald Trump. It's about the people that are demonstrating. And this demonstration about Black Lives Matter has surrounded the globe. And why has it surrounded the globe? Because everybody's fed up. Everybody's offended that it has gone on as long as it has. You know, when they said the whole world's watching, the whole world's watching. So what are you going to do? Well, what we have to do is we all have to do our piece of that puzzle. We have to hold the politicians accountable. We have to, as the mayor of Atlanta said in a wonderful video, we need to get out and vote at every level of government. We need to have more Black people, more Latinos, more Asians, more women running for politics. We have to have the people that can actually speak about their experiences in those seats to make the decisions on crime bills, on economic bills, on education bills. Nothing changes until the small group of privileged people that the system works well for realize their time is limited, realize that the pivot has occurred and that we can no longer go back to the way we were, the same way as when women earned the right to vote, the same way as when America broke free of Britain, the same way as when people finally put enough pressure on Lyndon Johnson to stop the war in Vietnam. Protest, awakening, getting people to understand, but most importantly, keeping your foot on the gas. Keeping your foot on the gas. Not making it a momentary, we're angry as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. We're angry as hell, we're not going to take it anymore, and we're not going to leave until there is significant change. I'm heartened by the fact that many corporations have stepped up and are coming to that epiphany. And yes, we should have come to it sooner. Isn't it unfortunate that it's events like this, but everybody comes to things at different places. I know personally, this wasn't on my list for this week's podcast, but something different happened to me this week. And I felt I had a desire and a need to share it. I'm watching television and Sesame Street is talking about doing a show for kids on racism. That's how much this has changed. That's how much this protest has changed. That's the first step. During the period of time back, I guess, post 2008, everybody was occupying Wall Street because they thought the guys on Wall Street were the bad guys. They weren't necessarily far off. But what was remarkable to me at the time, and when I reflect back on it, is the Wall Street people were just taking advantage of the laws. And they were taking advantage of everybody for their own greed. But Nobody was blaming Congress for having made those weak laws that only benefited some people. So everything has to come back to who can make the change. Why aren't they making the changes that are necessary? Why aren't they creating a better education system so Blacks and other minorities can be better educated, have better access to university, have better access to better jobs? Why aren't they doing that? Why are they still having insider trading, coming out from meetings about COVID-19 and going and selling off their portfolio? Why are they still allowed to do that? For me, we have to hold them all accountable, all of them, not just Donald Trump, but all of them. Because these are the leaders, these are the people in the country that are supposed to be making the laws, that are supposed to be doing things that benefit all of the people. They're the ones that are supposed to be changing the systemic issues that exist, the systemic bias. The other thing I thought about was, we have to empower people in power. And we have to empower people in power so that the policeman that had his knee on George Floyd's neck should have been fired ages ago. He had 18 complaints, including one where he dragged a woman out of her vehicle. How is that possible that someone could have 18 complaints against them and still be on the police force? Because strong union representation. Look away. Really, do we want to make that person's life? But the fact of the matter is, everyone has to take responsibility all the way along. I watched with sickness last night when they knocked over the 75-year-old man in Buffalo, people in riot gear, and they knocked him over, and his head, he's on the ground, he's bleeding, and they just walked right by him. Like, this is unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. And it's not good enough from our leaders. It's really not good enough. So we need to keep the foot on the gas. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. But I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do that. And I'm going to try to figure out a way to listen more. My daughter Nora has been a great inspiration for me in this, and that I've learned a lot from her. And, you know, she realizes that who I am and where I've come from, but she's also willing to help me out and understand this way forward. And I recognize it. As I said earlier, I recognize I've probably had a lifetime of unintended racial bias. So I need to listen more. I need to read more. I need to, as difficult as it is, to put myself in other people's shoes. And I need to contribute, and I need to contribute to the right groups and charities, as many organizations are starting to do. I'm fortunate to have a voice. I have a podcast. I work with a number of people, and I'm hoping that my voice today will stop and make people think about it. Not those people that are experiencing it, because that's not who this is for. Black people don't need me to tell them that there's a racial bias. Black people don't need me to tell them there's economic inequality. Black people don't need me to tell them that there's more of them in prison than any other minority in the country. You don't need that. And I'm not trying to tell Black people that. I guess I'm trying to tell others like myself that we need to do more, that what we've done in the past is not sufficient. And I'm not judging people for not having done more, but the time has come. Things have risen to a point where you could no longer look away. The disgusting feeling that we all had in sickness, watching that poor man die while he's screaming, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe," will be permanently etched in all of our minds. And it's unacceptable as a human being, period. So I think it's important that we all look inward to ourselves and be honest with ourselves and ask the hard questions of ourselves, and not try to judge ourselves, but ask ourselves, how are we going to be different going forward? You know, or is this just another one of those, oh, that was terrible. It really happened. And by the way, let's just get back to our privileged life. And, you know, it doesn't really affect us. And, or are we going to actually start to think about backing the right politicians that are socially moral and racially aware and understand education and understand economic inequalities? Or are we going to be like the Trump supporters, which is, yeah, I hate everything about him, but I'm making a lot more money in my pocketbook? And there has to be that trade-off. As a civil society, it can't be just about our own individual needs. It has to be, how do we make the collective world a better place? How do we ensure that, why does a Black person make less money? Why do they have more trouble renting a condo? Why? And there are other groups as well, but we have to do our part in helping that education and not being afraid to stand up and sort of say, that's wrong, we shouldn't do that. And, you know, when we're recruiting, we need to be mindful of diversity in our recruiting practices for companies. As my daughter said to me today, you know, whenever they talk about Black people or they talk about women and they say, you know, well, we want to hire the best person, she says, isn't it a miracle that the best person is always a white male? I said, it's laziness, right? It's not working hard enough to really find the diverse group. Many of the great organizations in the world will tell you that diversity is really what makes a difference in that company. There aren't enough of them, but more and more and more of them, when you look at the young people coming into the organization, that's the feed for the future. The more diverse the entry level, second level people coming into an organization, eventually those numbers will grow at the senior levels. Maybe not fast enough, but we need to continue that pattern of hiring. But as I keep saying, we need to keep our foot on the gas. Our foot on the gas on our politicians. We need to hold them accountable. We need to ask, why aren't you stepping up? Why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you enacting laws to stop all of these injustices? Why aren't you bringing people to trial or bringing people, you know, holding people accountable for behavior that's unacceptable? Why aren't you doing that? That's why we elect you. Why are you spending all your time feathering your own beds? Where are all the laws? Where are all the new laws in the last several years? Where's Nancy Pelosi? Where's Chuck Schumer? Where's Mitch McConnell? Where are all these people? They're absent. Why are they absent? I don't know. But we need to keep the pressure on them. We need to let them know we're not going away. We need to let them know that we're not going to support them financially, and we're not going to support people like them. We're going to support people that are about change and about progress and about fairness. Keep the foot on the gas. And one of the things I keep hearing that people are saying, and it's absolutely accurate, is, I'll never understand, but I will stand with you. I think it's an appropriate saying. I will never understand because I've never been in that situation. But I do understand that many people have. And like so many others that are coming to realize what's at stake, I will stand with you. I hope I haven't offended anybody in my words today. It's never not been my intent. And it's been a very eye-opening week for me personally. And I know as a family, we've talked about it as well, as we're all still in the COVID-19 world, stuck together. The whole world is watching, and history will judge us how we deal with it, as history has judged all of these moments in the past. And I am hopeful that it will be a positive outcome for the first time in a number of years. I'm Jim Bakiai. My podcast is Be You. The World Will Adjust. Thank you for your time. And if you have any thoughts or comments on what I've said today, feel free to send me an email, jim@bakiaiinternational.com. If I missed something you think I should have talked about, if I said something that you think's not accurate, I'm open to listening. Thanks. Enjoy your week.